Welcome to Make Me Your Voice with Pastor David Bardowell. These messages are intended to deepen your faith and trust in a living God who speaks to us with hope and reason. Today's message comes to us from the Gate Christian Bible Church in Orange County, California.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Rain stopped at least, so we're good. I thought I moved to Seattle. I was wondering where I was living. So today, we're continuing our sermon series called Live Like Jesus Lived, which is LLJL. Good. And remember, if you want to know what WWJD, you have to LLJL. And living like Jesus lives means living according to the kingdom. Now today, talk about seeds and planting them in the different soils. So let's say I got seed here, and let's say I just throw some over there. And throw some over there. You know, just start throwing them on the carpet. We got to pick them up, people, ladies. And don't leave these seeds for Rick, the custodian. Okay. So is this going to do anything? Is this going to accomplish anything? What'll happen? Yeah, there's nothing going to happen. Because seeds need what? Soil, right? So today, this passage teaches us the importance of God's seed, which is his word. And we're going to look at different soil, which is the condition of one's heart. We're going to find out the importance of sowing seed liberally, unsparingly, because you never know where the seed will fall, if it will fall on good soil. And we're going to learn that the sower in this parable only had a 25% success rate. Is that discouraging? Not to me, because just because it didn't fall that first time in good soil doesn't mean that we give up. So that we want to make sure that we leave here today understanding that we have the seed, which is the word of God, and we need to sow it unsparingly, liberally, so that people can come to Christ. This anonymous statement is amazing. It says, we're not called to bring all persons to Christ, but simply bring Christ to all persons. How do we do this? With the word, the seed. So in order to live like Jesus lived, we have to sow seed. The first thing we have to realize is the seed is the word. And that's what I had mentioned before. How do we know that? How do we know that the seed is the word? Because in verse 11 of this passage, Jesus says, the parable is this, the seed is the what? Word of God. And then the next thing we want to learn is the soil is the heart. How do we know it's the heart? Because Jesus in verse 12 tells us, the devil comes and takes away the word from their what? Heart. Seed is what? The word. Soil is the heart. So let's catch up real quick. We have learned a lot. We're in actually part 8. But we have known now that Jesus has called his disciples. How many did he call? And he had a 92% success rate. You realize that? One of them fell away, Judas. But he's running into opposition by religious leaders who don't want to give up control. That's what this is all about. The opposition, the spiritual warfare that Jesus encountered. Last week, we talked about dinner at whose house? Do you remember the Pharisee's name? Simon's house. An uninvited guest came. Who was that? A sinful woman. And she came with what? Very expensive jar of perfume oil, worth a year's wages, broke it open, and what did she do? Worship Jesus with what she had. And her hair and her tears were washing his feet as someone who just wanted to worship the Lord. Then she leaves forgiven. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Simon stays home, sadly. We don't know if he ever came to Christ. But we do know that in this beginning of this passage today, which we're not going to talk about this week, we'll talk about next week, is that Jesus is hanging out with some very prominent women in the city. One of whom we know as Mary Magdalene. Her? And Jesus heals these women. And we're going to talk about that more next week. So we'll jump over to verse 4 of chapter 8. And it says, "Now while a large crowd was gathering and those from each town were coming to Jesus, he spoke by means of a parable." What's a parable? It's a story. It's designed to illustrate some type of spiritual truth. In Jesus' case, it's illustrating truth about the kingdom of God. It's symbolic. James Edwards says, "Parables are like stained glass windows in a cathedral, dull and lifeless from the outside, but brilliant and radiant from within." So when you're within God's kingdom, you understand parables. Now, Jesus is the master of parables. So let's go into the parable. And the first thing we want to know is that seed beside the road is taken away. Seed beside the road is taken away. So Jesus starts out in verse 5 and he says, "The sower." So who's the sower in this story? It can be, obviously, the Lord. Who else could it be? Us, right? We're all that. Now, most translations say a sower, but it's interesting in the Greek, the article is actually there, the. So the sower, it can refer to God, like I said, or anyone who possesses the seed. Who possesses the seed? Believers, right? We've received Christ. Isn't Christ the word of God? Okay, so we've received Christ. We have God's word, and we have the full revelation of God's word in the Bible. So we have the seed. And so we know in Romans 10, it says, so faith comes from what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of Christ. So Jesus says, while he sowed, so he's walking, the sower is walking, and he's sowing seed. And in this case, he's throwing it all directions, okay? And some fell beside the road, or the way. The Greek word is ados, which can mean road, it can mean way, it can mean path. Some translations say on the path, but it's where people walked. So I want you to understand that the seed is supposed to be thrown liberally, and some of it falls in the field, the way, and some fall on the side of the field, which is the path. So let's look at a picture. So here's the sower is sowing seed, and some of it falls on the field where it's supposed to fall, and some of it falls over on the side of the field on the path where people, as Jesus goes on, trampled it, okay, so they walk there, and the birds of the sky, and literally the word Uranos means heavens, so it could be the birds of the heavens, and we know these are wild birds, ravenously ate it up and devoured. Now, we know Jesus, from Jesus' explanation later, which we'll get into, the birds of the sky represent evil, the devil. So the sower is sowing the seed, and some of it falls on the path next to the field, and people trample on it because that's where they walk, and the birds come and take it away. Okay, so that's the seed on the road is taken away. Next, the seed on the bedrock withered away. The seed on the bedrock withered away. So Jesus goes on in verse 6, "And other seed fell upon the rocky soil or the bedrock." Now, what does that look like? Well, here's a picture of what it might look like. We're familiar with this, right? It's all over here, this type of ground. In fact, I run on this many days on the week on the running trail. What's wrong with this soil? Nothing if you're running on it or walking on it, but there's no depth. There's a lot of rocks. No moisture can get in there. So Jesus goes on, "The seed that fell upon the rocky soil grew up, dried up, and withered away because it had no moisture." Matthew's account, his gospel adds, the soil was shallow. So when soil is shallow, the roots can't get down enough to get the water, so it dies. So that's why Jesus is saying it died of no moisture. And we do know that the word of God in the Bible is often spoken of as water, the water of the word. So the word does not get into that heart. Next, seed in the thorn plants are choked away. Seed in the thorn plants are choked away. So verse 7, and other seed fell in the middle of the thorn plants or the weed or the thistle. And the thorn plants grew up together with it and choked it out or caused the good plant to die. So the moral of this verse is don't hang out with thorny people. So let's look at a picture of what that might. So the weed, the thistle. So some of the, so you're sowing liberally. Some of it falls on the path. Some of it falls on the rocky soil. Some of it falls in the weeds. And what do the weeds do? They choke it out. So we have this picture here, the different soils. The side of the road, the stony place, the rocky soil, the thorns. And then we're going to talk about the good soil that it gets deep, the root gets deep into the heart. Now in Matthew and Mark's account, just before the parable of the sower, we see how much, and this is important, we see how much the religious leaders had already rejected Christ. And their hearts are so hard that they literally say that the reason Jesus is able to do miracles is not because he's God's son, but because he's Satan's son. Jesus refers to this as the unpardonable sin. And it's not in Luke's account, but it's in the other accounts. So what's the unpardonable sin? Well, what these religious leaders were doing, the Spirit of God was drawing them to Christ, because that's what the Spirit does. And they were so hard-hearted, the soil was so hard, that they didn't just reject Christ, because remember, Jesus is in his humanness, and he said, you can speak against me in my humanness, because that's why I'm going to the cross. But if you speak against God's Spirit, your sins will never be forgiven. What's happened here is the religious leaders have gotten to the point where they have rejected God's Spirit, drawing them to salvation. They have rejected God's Spirit, and not only rejected God's Spirit, they have blasphemed God's Spirit by comparing the Spirit of God to Satan. That's like, we don't care about you. You are a son of Satan, basically. And when someone has rejected God's Spirit, they've rejected God himself. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't get another chance. That's why we can't give up sowing the seed. God's Spirit can still work in their life. But there comes a point where someone has made a decision to never accept Jesus and the Spirit of Christ into their life, their hearts. Meaning they've rejected the Holy Spirit. And when you reject the Holy Spirit, you're rejecting life. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life eternal. So this is serious stuff. One thing we think about is all the people that pop into your mind that have so far rejected your seed sowing, you don't give up. Because if this is true, and there is a hell, and hell is a place where people go who reject God and reject Christ, reject the Holy Spirit, they will forever remain separated from him. If that's true, then you should have an urgency about sowing the seed. Because how does people come to faith? By the word of Christ. So I hope right now you're thinking, yes, this is important. This sowing seed thing is really important. The other thing, hopefully there's no one in here who has, it's to the point where your heart is so hard that you have rejected the Spirit of God showing you the reality of Christ, that your heart is hard beyond salvation. So this is serious. And sadly, the religious leaders had gotten to that point, and Jesus knew it. So this very first parable, this is the first parable, is really important because it includes very important aspects of the kingdom of God, which is the Word, the living Word of God, and the heart, the person's choice. Now, verse 11, so Jesus explains. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And in 1 Peter, in verse 23, he says, "For you have been born again." And that word means born from above. How are we born from above? By whom? The Holy Spirit. Not of seed which is perishable, but what? Imperishable, which is the word of God, the living word of God. Through the living and enduring word of God. So does the problem lie in the seed? No, the seed still works. Where's the problem? In the heart. So that's seed. Now we're going to look at the soil. And Jesus explains. He begins to explain now to his disciples. He says, those who have ears to hear. So hopefully you have ears to hear. Okay? And what's happening? He says, shallow soil is no belief. Shallow soil is no belief. And so verse 12, he says, those beside the road are those who heard. Then the devil comes and takes or carries away the word from their heart. And what are the instruments that the devil is using here? Birds, right? So these are evil birds come and take away the word from their heart so they might not believe and be what? Saved. Here's what happens. I can tell all the time. And last week I noticed it even more because of the microphone just out of the blue, doing like what it's kind of doing now. Now, we can say, oh, that's just a technical difficulty. We can say that, right? And that could be the problem. Or we can say, man, there's spiritual warfare. The devil doesn't want people to hear the word. In fact, where he doesn't want you to show up to church. To the point where you're laying there, oh, there's so many other things I could do today. It's the first sunny day in a long time. I thought I lived in Seattle. And man, I'm just going to go enjoy the day. And then when you get there, you're distracted, right? Who's distracted? Those guys back there. Exactly my point. When the word is being preached, there's distractions. Every time. Now, some are more than others. But the point is that we have to realize that there's an entity that does not want the seed to fall in good soil. Why? Because he wants you to be on his side. He wants you to take you with him. He's a loser, and he knows he's a loser, and he wants to take a lot of people with him to hell. One of the things we need to do is we need to always be attentive, but always be praying for the sower, right? Because when you're praying, you're actually more attentive. And instead of being an audience member, you are a participant. And you're praying, Lord, I pray the seed falls in good soil. Lord, help me hear what you want to hear. Lord, I pray for the pastor right now. I just pray, Lord, that you would anoint him and that the word of God would be preached. And then here's the bigger part. You need to try your hardest to get people to hear the word of God. What that means is you need to start inviting until you're blue in the face and you never give up. Some people may never step into a church building. So then you're the person that brings a seed to them, and that's fine, you should. But also there's a part of it that takes a lot of work, and it's a lot of energy, and it's a lot of preparation. We should just never show up going, oh, I'm going to church today, and I'm going to hear a pretty good sermon. There's going to be some music, and you know, then I'll go home. And no, we should go, Lord, I pray that I'm one of those that the seed falls on good soil and plants deep into my heart. So there's spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So who's doing that? Who's working? You remember in the Wizard of Oz, never mind the guy behind the curtain. Who's doing that? Satan. He's the God of this age. Small g, not capital. So we have to keep praying. We have to keep sowing. You never know when the seed takes hold. So shallow soil, no belief. Next, rocky soil, no root. No root. Verse 13. Those upon the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, so they actually hear, receive the word with joy. but these have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing or temptation, they fall away. In Mark's account, he says, they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. It is amazing to me how many people in my 20-somewhat years of being in ministry, and especially in the 17 years or so of this church. I can't remember how long I've been here. How long I've been here. Or not here, but been a church. It's been a long time. But anyways, how many times people have shown up and received with joy that you think, man, they are saved. They even get water baptized. Yeah, I'm going to follow the Lord. And a year later, hey, where's so-and-so? I don't know. I don't know what happened to them. They fell away. Man, I thought they were on fire. Why does this happen? A, they stop showing up. They stop showing up. They drop out. Let me tell you something. When you don't feel like showing up is exactly when you need to show up. Can you retain this? I'm the pastor and I don't feel like showing up. Seriously, I mean, we're all human beings. So we've got to be honest with ourselves. And the devil will use every excuse in the book to not have you show up to hear the word. And then you'll stop sowing seed. Because part of building your faith is sharing your faith. Now this verse is troubling. Because it says some people actually believe and receive, but they fall away. So does that mean that they lose their salvation? If that's the case, gosh, if it's up to me to keep my salvation, I'm messed up. But it's important to note this. This is what's important. The rocky soil, the heart in the rocky soil, stops it from subversion. So submersion. Therefore, these people are most likely those who hear the word with joy and they receive it in their head. They're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Man, I want my sins forgiven. It's all I got to do is like say a prayer and I'm done. And then I get baptized and I'm cool, man. And I'm got that, you know, fire insurance. But here's the thing. It's a long way from here to here. You can receive it here and it never falls here. The soil is not the head. The soil is the heart. So these are not people that lose their salvation. These are people that never were saved in the first place. There's no root, it says. They're hard-hearted. They're rocky. They're like bedrock. Warren Wiersbe says, faith is not a matter of IQ or education. It's a matter of humbly preparing the heart to receive God's truth. So there has to be a continuation of the word for it to truly take root. In fact, in John chapter 8, we read, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When you know something, it's not just here. When you truly know someone, it's not just here. You know that person here. You have an experience with that person. You have a relationship with that person. And in this case, you have a relationship with the Word of God, Jesus Christ. But that takes root. And that is continuous taking root. Every time you're hearing the Word, you're praying, Lord, make my heart fertile. Plant that seed deep so the root keeps going deeper and deeper. And again, this is not about you saving yourself. This is about someone who has received the seed, not just here, but in their heart, and they're continuing in that path. And then next, thorny soil is no fruit. These are the thorny people, okay? Thorny people don't want you to grow. Verse 14, the seed which fell into the thorn plants, these are the ones who heard, again, they heard, but while going on their way, because of worries and riches and pleasures of life, in Mark's account, he has desire for other things. They're choked by pressure and they do not produce ripe or mature fruit. So again, in order for a tree to bear fruit, the roots have to take root in deep soil where the water is. So a few things. First of all these people hear the word. You're hearing the word. All the people hear the word, but there's a difference between hearing and believing the word. The rocky soil people fall away because they have no root. They hear, they welcome the word. They might get involved with church. They might even be water baptized, but the word does not take root because they are not baptized by the Spirit of God, so they're not born again. Let me just say this. When someone is born again by the Spirit of God, something changes. And I want to say this because some people in here might be thinking, am I born again? Well, first of all, there's a way to know that the Spirit of your Spirit and God's Spirit speak to each other. And you can hear God and you understand God. Do you remember before you were saved? Were you ever interested in like the Bible? I mean, you might have been interested in the Bible like as a history book or a story, but were you interested in the Bible? Like, were you interested in showing up to a church and a school and sitting on a hard seat and having the pastor just like yell at you, make you feel bad? No. Were you interested in Bible studies? Were you interested in hanging around with other Christians? Were you interested in like getting deeper in your healing through a Healing Steps, Christian Healing Steps program? Were you interested in any of these things? Probably not. So the fact that you're even interested in there, the Spirit of God is working in your life. So the thorny soil people hear, but their faith is choked out. By what? The cares of the world. They're not willing to repent. And how do I define repent? Does he remember? Stop believing in what you think is true and start believing in what God says is true, right? So that's repent, repentance. So people in the thorny soil people, they're not willing to stop believing what they think is true. They're not willing to stop desiring the things of the world more than they desire the things of God. And here's the warning. This can happen to us. Not losing our salvation, but we can become thorny. And when you hang around other thorny people, you're going to be thorny. But what is the sign that the seed has taken hold? Fruit. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 13. So in chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." So here's the thing. So the gate, remember Jesus said, "I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." So he's saying many enter the wide gate. But guess what happens? It gets narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow and leads to eternal death. Jesus said, enter the narrow gate. Many don't enter the narrow gate, which is faith. But guess what happens to the narrow gate? You enter, it keeps getting bigger and bigger, and then it goes to eternal life. So that's what he's saying. And then he says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their," what? "Fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree, bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit," just like what Pastor Sam was saying, "nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their," what? "Fruits." Okay, so we're going to talk more about that in a little bit, but just know that, realize that you can know when the seed has taken root by their fruit in their life. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." So the will of Jesus' Father is to believe in his Son. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demon, in your name perform many miracles?' So in other words, 'Lord, didn't we do a lot of good things for you? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So he never knew you because you didn't receive his spirit by faith in Christ. This is why it's so important. And I'm really emphasizing this. You're not saved by a prayer in church. You're not saved by checking a box that says, I'm committing my life to Jesus Christ. You know, you're not saved by showing up to church. How are you saved? By grace, that's God drawing you. Through faith, your eyes are open. In whom? Jesus Christ. That's how you're saved. And the Bible says, when you believe, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So, and Jesus says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you do a lot of good things for me. Is that what he says? What do you say? If you have what? Love for whom? One another. Who are the one another's? Okay, there's two different words for others in Greek. One means like someone who's not like you. One means someone who's like you. When we mean like you, has the Spirit of God like you. Is a born-again believer like you. So the fruit, you will know that someone is a disciple of Christ, a believer, is if they have love for the ones that are like them. People who don't like to be with people like us, odds are they're probably not believers. And here's one step further. If we can't love one another the way Christ loved us, if we can't exhibit that love to the ones that are like us, how in the world are we going to do it to our enemies? So the fruit comes and it shows that we have love for one another. Okay? So then the next thing is good soil is much fruit. So when it falls into good soil, a lot of fruit happens. Verse 15, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who after hearing. So this is the difference. Remember before it says, they heard. Here is literally the participle is a past participle. After hearing the word in an honest and good heart. And that literally means that the heart has been transformed because the seed has entered. When God's spirit enters, your heart is new. You may not act new, but you have a new heart. And so we have an honest and good heart, not in our own heart, but because God has given us a new heart, one of obedience. Hold fast and cling to it. So these people cling to the seed, the word of God. And we see examples of this up to what we've even studied here in Luke. We see the woman who came to Jesus last week. She was forgiven. Why? Because she did good things? No, because she placed her faith in Christ. She received the seed, the word of God. The woman who followed him next week, we'll talk about these women. Peter and Levi, the two disciples, we can see a changed life in them. But we can also see an unchanged life, right? Who do we see that's always hanging around Jesus all the time? Who's following him? Well, Judas, true. We don't know that till the end of the story. But even the religious leaders, right? They're rejecting Jesus. So the seed is not going into them. What's happening here? Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but who's the earshot? All those unbelievers. I was Saturday, we have a little running group we run, and there's a certain person that always asks me, what are you preaching on tomorrow? Like last week, it was forgiveness, and then there was like silence for a while, and I'm like, okay, are you all right? He's like, well, I was just thinking of something, and I need to forgive somebody, and you just said that, so it kind of made me think, and I'm like, good. And he gets to hear my three-minute version of my sermon. So if you want to hear the three-minute version, run with us 6 miles on Saturday. That's hell. But yesterday, so he, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I told him this and shared it with him. And he goes, oh, what about the people that the seed doesn't fall? Do they ever get another chance? I was like, wow, that is an incredible question. I go, yeah, they get another chance because you always have a chance. That's God's grace. And then I told him the whole thing about the religious leaders. He goes, so what you're telling me is that Jesus was speaking to his disciples, but he was really speaking to the religious leaders because they had rejected the seed. And I'm like, yeah, you are like a theologian. And I don't know where he is as a believer or not. I haven't gotten that far. But he's hearing the seed, and he's asking really good questions. So I can tell that the Holy Spirit's working. But we have to understand this. There's a bigger picture. There's a backstory that Jesus is trying to even... He hasn't given up on the religious leaders. He wants them to repent. God says, I want everyone to repent and come to faith in Christ. That's a loving God. So fruit bearers, they cling to the word of God. In fact, in Matthew 13, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. In Luke 8, it says, other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop of 100 times great. That was from earlier. Matthew's account says, seed fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So not every tree will produce the same amount of fruit, but every tree will produce good fruit to some degree. When you plant a tree, have you ever planted something and it died? Okay. Well, why? The tree has to work through the soil, right? The tree has to work the roots. And if it's not good soil, it's even harder. But it's still work, right? The tree has to do something. We have to do something. What is the very first thing we have to do? Believe. Now, in our belief, do we just sit there and not do anything? No, we work. It's called working out our salvation, as Paul puts it. We're not working for our salvation. We're working out from our salvation, and we're doing things in faith that are good things, that are helping people grow and things like this. And here's the other thing. When you think you're good, when you think you're fine, right? Isn't that just when the gardener comes and prunes you and you're like, what in the world is going on? This is painful. Well, we know that Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he what? Prunes, that it may bear more fruit. When you're good and you feel like on top of the world and you're like, God is using me, man. I can't believe how he's using me. And then like 3 months later, you're in despair going, what happened? No, he's going to use you even more. That's an incredible thing to think about. Now, once a tree is firmly rooted, let me ask you a question. Once a tree is firmly rooted, is it natural or unnatural for a good tree to bear fruit? It's natural, right? If you're firmly rooted in Christ, it will be natural for you to bear fruit. Why? Are you bearing it? God is doing it through you. Because your roots are deep, you have received the seed, you believe. And you even believe now that there's a message that God gave you today, and you're going to do something about it. And you believe, and it falls in that deep soil, and you're like, gosh, man, I can't believe last year compared to this year, you know, God is just doing something in my life. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. Now, just real quick, we're going to end with some different fruit that we have. Romans 1:13, read it with me. This is Paul speaking. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as among the rest of the Gentiles. So what kind of fruit is that? A ministry, right? A service. Everybody should be serving others in a ministry or ministering to people. And then the next one, read this, Colossians 1:10, read it with me. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what's happening there? Bearing fruit in every good work. So when you're doing good things for God, fruit is coming out. When you're learning about God, fruit is coming out. Then this one, read Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. How does that fruit come? By praise, by praising God, and by actively worshiping him corporately. as you praise him. And then this Galatians 5:22 through 23, read it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And you're like, I really thought I was doing good until that one, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you love, all these other ones will fall into place to some degree because you're loving other people more than you. This takes perseverance. As Jesus says, we cling to the word. But what it really takes is submission. It means, God, you're in control. I'm not. And I want to submit to you, Lord, the gardener. I want to submit the Father of Jesus Christ and be connected to the vine, to Jesus, his Son by Spirit, and to other branches, which is the church. So let's end with reading John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a reminder today of the seed that is the word of God and the soil that is the heart, that we have been given a free will to either choose you or reject you. And I pray that everyone in here has chosen you. And if they're not sure, I will lead them in a prayer, but the prayer is not what saves us, it's their faith. If that's you today, you can just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you. I believe in you. I believe that you are the Lord and the creator of all things. And you created me and you know what's best for me even more than I do. And I ask you to come into my life. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I want your word to be planted deep. And I pray that you'd give me the strength to do your will, because I know, Lord, that in order to grow, I have to live my faith out by being around other believers, other trees, other good trees. And I pray, Lord, for our church that we'll not stop sowing seed, that we'll always remember that you give everyone a chance and a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. And I pray there will be no one left behind, because this church has brought a lot of people with them to heaven. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor David Bardowell's message reminds us that God speaks to us with hope and reason so that we can be his voice in this world. Please join us again for Make Me Your Voice, a ministry of the Gate Christian Bible Church in Orange County, California. We would love to have you visit if you're in the area. For more information or to find our location, please visit thegateoc.com. Amazing.